think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. Alfred Kilmer, 1914. Yum. And yes, plenty of trees in today's science show, some real ones and all of them thirsty. I'm Robin Williams. You're on ABC Radio National and your pod everywhere. In May, a letter from 255 top American scientists was sent to the journal Science, saying that they were disturbed by assaults on their integrity and the McCarthy-like nature of the attacks. Steve Schneider was one of the signatories.
Well, as one of the signatories, and I helped write that draft, all we wanted to do is try to reverse what I thought was a both unfair and illegitimate drift in the media, particularly in the US and the UK, where because there were some errors made in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, there were errors made. We're still a human institution, therefore we have flaws. And some of those errors were embarrassing to me. But there were three or four of them uncovered despite a whole disinformation engine well-funded by the usual, you know, coal, oil, and gas interests. All they could find was three or four errors. There are 1,000 conclusions. What a batting average. I mean, this is phenomenal. We should not apologize for doing well, but we should apologize for the errors we made and say we'll fix it. So what I wanted to do is help people to understand that, yes, we have to get better than we are. But please, let's be fair. You tell me whether investment bankers or military strategists or doctors get only 6 mistakes out of 1,000. So if the reports had covered that at the same time that they had covered the errors, I would have thought that was fair and balanced. But just to cover the errors and then create this impression in the public that science can't be trusted was leading to a reduction in the people's belief in climate science. And it was outrageous. So the members of the Academy said, we got to do something. So the science piece was trying to say, look, we're not perfect. We want to reform the system. But my God, the likelihood that this human-induced climate change is very, very high. And it's not fair to frame science as requiring perfection and every other institution that we do can be mediocre with regard to its quality.
Professor Steve Schneider of Stanford in Australia this week to attend the Conference on Climate Adaptation in Queensland. But last week, he and his colleagues published a research paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, a top journal. It claimed two things. First, that 97% to 98% of climate scientists agree with concerns about global warming. That's most of them. And second, that critics of this line are very much less qualified in the field. Steve Schneider on the reaction to this paper.
Well, the reaction has been exactly what we expected. Those people who were shown by the analysis to have way, way lower contributions to the scientific community and to have very few citations relative to the other group were outraged and called it a blacklist and said how they discriminated against. Of course, those are the people who don't accept the conventional view that much of the recent climate change is due to human activities. And the IPCC lead authors who we checked against, those people who'd signed lists saying they didn't believe in the climate science or want policy, those IPCC lead authors were vastly more likely to have published papers with the word climate change in it than the other group. And when they did publish papers, they were cited by their colleagues much more often. So it's just simply an objective measure of the relative, if you want to call it, strength science in climate of those people who accept the conventional view and those people who do not.
How much difference really was there between the two groups?
There were a very, very large number of people who signed petitions saying they didn't believe in human-induced global warming who had almost no papers in climate, whereas those in the IPCC and so forth, virtually all of them had published papers. So in that sense, it was a dramatic difference. Then we took scientists who had 20 or more papers with the word climate and change in it. And so we thought that was fairer, so that we picked people who didn't accept the conventional view, who were, in fact, paper publishing scientists, to be fair to them. And that group was closer. But the thing that was most important was we also looked at the top four papers of each group, and the ones from the except the climate science as conventional wisdom has built over the last 40 years had a much higher citation rate, meaning their colleagues cite their works more than the other guys. Does that prove the other guys wrong? No, but this is just a piece of evidence. I think the other guys are wrong based on the 40 years of building assessments, and what this is yet another reinforcing piece of evidence that the world should not afford equal credibility out there to all claimants of truth, that they should check their credentials. I mean, you wouldn't go to your cardiologist to ask for your chemotherapy or your oncologist to ask for your heart medicine. You have to show these people really have expertise, and just making claims and having a PhD but not working in the field is not really a qualification to talk about complex climate science.
Apart from the citations in climate itself, did you do anything to measure whether the quality, the sheer quality of the scientists was different?
No, we didn't make any qualitative judgments. Of course, if you were doing a full social science study, you'd do what's called ethnography. You'd interview everybody. We're talking thousands of people, the 1,300 people in this database. That wasn't our job. We couldn't possibly do that. And it would have been arbitrary. So we basically selected which scientists to put in each camp because they'd selected themselves. We've been accused of blacklisting. I mean, oh, you guys blacklisted us, and you picked our names. We didn't pick their names. We simply went to petitions that they signed, that they organized, and we just tested those petitions against the citation counts, how many papers have you published, and how much of your colleagues cited you. And then we did the same thing for IPCC lead authors, and they were quite statistically different, with lead authors and the mainstream climate scientists having much, much stronger clout, if you will, in the scientific community. This measure, this looking at citation, this is an objective measure that gives you one aspect. Every university uses it, and most of the national academies use it, not to determine who's the best, but as kind of a red flag, green flag checklist. If you have very few citations and a few papers, you really probably don't belong in an expert group. Once you cross a certain threshold, you just forget about it, and then you look at, you know, the more subjective judgments of quality.
Well, I know there are plenty of things that the public comes across, like petitions or articles or letters, public letters that say, you know, something like 13,000 scientists say that evolution is wrong. And you go to the academies and you ask, well, there's an awful lot of scientists. Are they really scientists? And many of them are attached to, you have some very strange universities in the United States, and they might be attached to some of those.
It's not unfair to point out that a vast number of those people who deny that there's a human-induced climate change simply do not publish in the field. This is a very complicated field. I mean, would you give equal weight to the Herbalist Society every time there's a new clinical trial on a leukemia drug? I mean, they wouldn't even be quoted. I wonder sometimes, why are these guys even being quoted? I mean, are you going to sit there and decide to just pull anybody off the street and ask them how the pilot should fly through wind shear? I mean, there is such a thing as expertise, and that's why we have tests and why we even have driver's licenses. So we were just sort of checking out the driver's licenses of people making these claims. And what we will say is that although this is not a perfect measure and it does not all the elements of quality, they were self-selected and they came out showing a much, much weaker set of contributions to the literature of the science of climate change. And I think that that should influence the public debate, that people might have a few grains of salt when they just hear somebody with a PhD make a claim and they don't check to find out whether that person is credible.
Professor Steve Schneider of Stanford University in California, whose paper with colleagues was published last week in Proceedings of the National Academy of Science.